This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Okay, thank you for joining us here on Radioactive Magazine. This is Craig Lubos, your host tonight. I'm filling in for Spencer Graves. He was going to do this, and he's home with the flu, so we wish him well. Tonight we'll talk about the People's Agenda, which is a rally that's being organized for Topeka in January. And we have four guests with us. I'll start with Moti Reber. And if you'll tell us a couple things about yourself.
All right, I'm Rabbi Moti Reber. I'm the executive director of Kansas Interfaith Action, which is a advocacy organization that works on the statewide level on economic, racial, and environmental justice. And I'm part of the group that's putting together this rally on January 11th.
Okay, and next we'll go to Musa.
Yes, my name is Musa El-Bayoumi, and I am the board chair for the Kansas chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which is a Muslim civil rights organization, and we are definitely would like to be part of this effort.
All right. And Ashanti?
Hi, my name is Ashanti Spears. I am a member at Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Topeka. That's where I'm a youth leader, and I'm also an angry Kansan that is part of this coalition. And I'm part of the planning team for the mobilization on January 11th at the Capitol.
Okay. And Oshara, did I say that right?
Yes. Okay. Hi, my name is Oshara Misha. I'm a member of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Topeka also, and I'm also a member of our planning team here for Kansas People Agenda. Thank you.
All right, and so if one or more than one of you can address the gist of what you're trying to do in January.
Right, so we are convening on the Capitol January 11th of 2017. And this is a moral movement based upon the historical precedent that when people come together and demand action, they see change. This is also based off of the moral movement of Dr. William Reverend Barber. He has started something in North Carolina called Moral Mondays. So basically, we're trying to do the same thing here in Kansas and gather 1,000 people on the Capitol to come together and basically disrupt business as usual. The initial meeting of the legislature that meets in January, we want to set our own agenda and not just go with the issues that they want to talk about. We want to let them know that they are accountable to the people of Kansas and not to moneyed interests.
All right. And what organizations are participating with you?
There are a few different organizations represented here. I know the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Topeka is one. There are also people from Universalist organizations from across, or churches from across the state. Musa, do you have, Musa's organization is also involved. In
all right.
Yeah.
And how did this idea come about?
Dr. Reverend William Barber has a book called The Third Reconstruction, where he talks about the first moral movement that happened, or the first reconstruction that happened right after slavery, where Jim Crow was instilled, and then he says his cousin, Dr. James Crow Esquire, came about and actually was well-versed at the law, and then we had to fight in court for the movements that we wanted. Then the second Reconstruction came about in the 1950s and the 1960s, where we see cases like Brown v. Board, the integration of segregated schools, and then now we have the third Reconstruction that comes with the Obama era of more social movement.
Okay. And how did your organizations, other once you get involved?
Well, one of the people on the planning committee is our board chair. So Kansas Interfaith Action's board chair is Reverend Sarah Oglesby Dunnigan, and she's the pastor at this Unitarian Universalist Church and Fellowship in Topeka that they're talking about. And she's she and a woman in Wichita named Laura Dungan put this idea together. Sarah's been wanting to bring the Moral Mondays model to Kansas for a while. And Laura Dungan had been working independently. We didn't really know her. Some people in Wichita knew her. But she had been on some phone calls with Barbara's team over the summer. They've coordinated with him. He's going to be sending. So if you don't know William Barber, he's the African-American pastor from North Carolina who spoke at the Democratic National Convention. He's a very prominent progressive religious figure. And he was in Kansas City recently. They do a moral revival, but he calls it the moral regeneration. So one of the things that Kansas Interfaith Action tries to do is bring a moral voice back to politics. We think that the public policy has been usurped by people who use their religiosity as an excuse for cruel public policy, like kicking people off of food stamps. And that's not what our faith traditions tell us. So we directly come from the same kind of stream of social justice, religious faith as Reverend Barber does. So our board chair worked with this other person, Laura Dungan, to put together a steering committee that Ashanti's on and a number of other people are on. And there were two planning meetings in Salina to plan the day. It's going to be speakers. There's going to be music, protest music, I guess. There's going to be spoken word performances. I think there's going to be some dance. You're a poet, aren't you, Ashanti?
Yeah. So we are gathering Kansas poets in different voices. So the point of this day is to have the marginalized voices lifted up, voices that are normally not recognized to get up and speak. So that's going to be the outline of this.
One of the pieces of Barber's model is that the people who are directly affected by the policies are the ones who speak about it. So if we're, if the example I used before is the social safety net. So oftentimes what happens is that some professional lobbyist goes in and talks to legislators about what the social safety net is, or a policy expert. What we're going to do is have the people who are directly affected speaking for themselves. That's a much more direct way of talking about it. And it also shows that there's real people involved, real people affected by decisions that are made in government.
And is this Barber, is he going to be at the rally too? Or?
He's sending a message to the rally on January 11th. We think he might be live, or he might just send a recorded video message, which we'll play at the rally. But then there's going to be an event in March, which you can follow up with us later on, where he's going to come and do a moral regeneration, moral revival, and then also do a training for the leadership of this group to talk about how to keep this going. I mean, the idea is not just to do a one-off protest. The idea is to bring all these groups together as a coalition that can continue to work for change in Kansas over the course of months and years.
All right. And is this something you started organizing before the election, or did it come about after the election?
We started organizing this event towards the end of September. Oh. And so our first initial meeting was November 12th, just right after the election. So we had already been planning to have this convening on the Capitol anyway. But now that with the current election results, we are even more enthused to make a display at the Capitol.
It became more urgent.
Right.
And are you feeling that any progress is going to have to be made at the state level now? Or are we pretty much given up on the federal for the next 2 to 4 years?
Well, it's really interesting that in Kansas, the election results were actually relatively positive, especially considering the bloodletting that's been happening the last couple of cycles in terms of Democrats and moderate Republicans getting kicked out. Now we've had a reversal of that to some extent. So in the past couple of years, I've been a registered lobbyist in Topeka since 2012. I worked on climate change issues, and now I work on a number of social justice issues. And it's been terrible to go up there and you know, have people not listen to you and to know that nothing you can say, you know, just trying to keep bad things from happening. Now with a new legislature, I mean, we still have the same old governor, which is a different issue, but with a new legislature, it's possible that we can actually have an effect, a positive effect on public policy. And that's one of the reasons why we're bringing this group together, so that we can show them that we have, you know, it's not just about keeping bad things from happening, but actually putting a positive spin on public policy.
And I also believe that even if the legislature stayed the way it was, with the extra stress being put on the marginalized groups and different ethnic and religious groups, it's more important for all these groups to come together in a very strong coalition to make their voice stronger and better heard. And we believe once we work together like this, we will be able to be more effective and achieve the results that we hope for, even with the legislature the way it was.
Right. And what are the issues that you will be focusing on?
Well, if you go to our website, which is kansaspeoplesagenda.org, KansasPeople'sAgenda.org. There's a list of 15. The agenda is 15 issues of different types: racial justice, LGBT rights, criminal justice reform, economic justice. There's 15 of them. Some of them, and each of them has a couple of bullet points. This is not really a legislative agenda event. It's more about putting the issues on the table. Responsible gun policy. I mean, we know that some of these issues are going to be taken up in the legislature this year. Particularly, we know that canned care expansion, Medicaid expansion is going to be taken up this year. That's an economic justice issue. It's also a health care access issue, which is also one of our 15 topics. We know that the issue of concealed carry on college campuses is going to be taken up. One of our bullet points is, sensible gun legislation, because Kansas has the worst gun laws, responsible gun policy, because Kansas has the worst gun laws in the country. So the big issue this year will be campus carry. We're trying to get them not to introduce guns onto campus. Equitable education will be something, you know, tax fairness will be something that we talked about this year. So these are all, you know, Kansas is in a very bad financial situation, so there's a lot of these issues that are going to come up, and we, like I said, we want to be able to push them forward as opposed to just kind of pulling up the rear. You know, we want to set the agenda. We want to ask the legislature to be proactive and justice seeking as opposed to just sort of cleaning up the mess.
All right. Let me ask you, what are some of the things, and let's take a few of the issues. What would you like to see? I'm going to raise criminal justice reform first. And that's just because I think that's where the legislature this last term actually has made more progress than on any of the other issues. So where do you see additional reform going on that?
There's a group that is going to be a part of the coalition called Topekans for Racial Justice, and they are actually in the process of getting a citizens review board introduced to Topeka, and possibly we can get that going throughout the state. So we are trying to require increased training for police officers in dealing with citizens that deal with mental illness and substance abuse issues. And we are also requiring the implementation of evidence-based community policing policy and practices. And another thing, we wanted to have the police provide documentation of traffic stops so that nobody is just pulled over and there's no record of it. We want that we want that brought to the forefront with criminal justice reform.
One of the issues that we see is that, and one of the reasons why state action is so important, is that we see that Kansas, at the state level, is an experiment for national level. I mean, a lot of times, in the recent years, it's been a bad experiment, a failed experiment. But a lot of policy will be made on the state level, and one of the things that we want to see is a much less reliance on incarceration. I mean, there's a lot of people. Mass incarceration is a huge problem in the country. Especially affecting people of color. and people who are arrested for nonviolent drug offenses or who are mentally ill or substance abusers are treated as criminals. And that's one of the major factors that's responsible for the massive increase in incarcerated population. We have by far the largest number of incarcerated people in the world, of any country in the world. So starting to move away from criminalizing all this behavior and starting to look at ways of dealing with problems that are mental illness, problems that are mental illness, as opposed to just criminalizing everything. I mean, a lot of the violence that we see between citizens and particularly African Americans in communities around the country has to do with how police interact with people who, who might be substance abusing or otherwise. You know, if the first response is a deadly response or an arresting response or criminalizing response, then that's going to put that person away. So this is sort of the thing that we're hoping will influence Kansas, but have a larger effect on the country at large.
All right. I know a couple of things of concern would be the after Ferguson, and there was a lot of discussion about the military weapons that were being given to police forces. Mm-hmm. So they started, you know, hopefully reversing that. But then Trump, President-elect Trump, said he wants to let all the police forces have all the military weapons they want. So
right. So that's something that we would have to deal with on
the
state level.
And then Medicaid expansion, you mentioned that.
Right.
What can the state do ultimately if Trump carries through with his threat? I know his new Health and Human Services Secretary says that one of their goals is to end Medicaid completely. So
yeah, I mean, that's going to be something that we're going to have to work on, that a lot of groups are going to have to work on. There's a lot of federal work that we have to do as well. But Kansas has chosen, as one of the states that has chosen not to expand Medicaid, which was an important part of the Affordable Care Act, and they really did it for political reasons. But it's left 150,000 Kansans who are working people without health insurance. There's a coalition called the Alliance for a Healthy Kansas, which is, you can look that up on Google, that Kansas Interfaith Action is part of, that's been working to organize to ask for Medicaid expansion. And that work continues. We don't know what's going to happen on the federal level. There's a chance that it could turn into a block grant program. We want to have a place at the table, and the only way to do that is by passing Medicaid expansion now. Mm-hmm. So that's a big priority for us this year.
And the point here is we all know that Medicaid is a federal program but administered by the state. So as long as the federal program stays as it is now, we need to work on our state doing its part to expand and make it reach the people that need it in this state. If changes take place on the federal side, then we have to work with other like organizations or like coalitions in other states to affect the federal level.
Okay. And what are you trying to do in the way of voting rights?
Well, the voting suppression, this is a place where Kansas has really been a bad model for the rest of the country with all the different, this sort of the myth of voter fraud, voter ID, proof of citizenship requirements, which were thrown out by the courts this year. Mm-hmm. These are means to suppress the vote, and particularly of disadvantaged people, of ethnic minorities, of young people. To keep people from voting, and we see a result of that. I mean, a part of the reason why the election came out the way it was because of voter suppression efforts in different states around the country, including in Michigan and Wisconsin. The fundamental right of an American citizen is to vote. We don't advocate for non-citizens voting, but we don't think that there's a problem with non-citizens voting. So the whole thing is a myth. But to make it more difficult for citizens to vote is un-American, in my opinion. And the first responsibility of government is to make sure that everybody's vote counts. And we're not seeing that now. We're seeing voter suppression as a means to maintain conservative governance, and that's something that we really need to stop. And it needs to stop nationally, but Kansas is the place where this experiment started because the guy who's responsible for most of these laws is the Secretary of State here. Kobach.
And to support the one man, one vote concept, seems like we also have to get rid of the Electoral College.
Yeah, I mean, that requires amending the Constitution, and I don't think that's really in the cards at this stage.
You've got two issues in your agenda here, religious freedom and LGBTQIA rights. Before I ask you the main question, what is the IA for? You know?
Intersex.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I haven't seen IA attached to that before. So
it's like usually mentioned by LGBTQ plus.
Okay.
So people that don't fall within the gender binary, we identify them in that phrase with the plus.
All right. So getting to my main question, a lot of the political conservatives in this country would have you think of religious freedom and LGBTQ issues as being mutually exclusive. And I'm guessing, since it's both on your agenda, that you don't see it as exclusive. So tell us, how can those two be consistent? Can people exercise religious freedom and still support LGBTQ?
Certainly. And I think the point here is very clear in our minds, and we hope to make it clear to everybody else, that while our organization, for example, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is primarily a civil rights organization for American Muslims, but we also believe in freedom in general for everyone, people from all religions and from all creeds. We do not have to agree with with any of them, but we definitely cherish the right to be free. And when we mean here, we're talking about religious freedom, we're talking about true religious freedom for everyone to exercise their religion without the distortion that we have seen in some places over the last year or so, where people use the word religious freedom as a code word to use it for allowing discrimination for people based on the religious beliefs. Someone claiming that their discrimination act is an exercise of their religion. That's not true, because practicing your religion cannot and should not infringe on somebody else's freedom to make their choices that are guaranteed by the Constitution.
Okay. Let me move then to environmental justice. And this might be one Modi wants to address mostly, because you've been involved in environmental issues and you used to do shows on Eco Radio.
Right.
So tell us where you're going with that.
Well, one of the things, so environmental justice and climate justice are related but not the same. Environmental justice means that a lot of it overlaps with racial justice, because where are the polluting facilities located, but in poor and under poor and minority communities, ethnic minority communities. So that's a justice issue, because that increases illness there, increases birth defects and learning disabilities. So that's a racial justice / environmental justice issue. The other piece is the climate issue. Kansas is in a great position to lead the nation in wind energy and other renewable forms of energy. And we've seen a resistance, reluctance on the part of the legislature and the governor, frankly, to go full force with that. They fought climate legislation every step of the way. Now you're not going to have climate legislation probably from the national level, so we're going to need to push it on the state level. And that's a job growth issue for Kansas, because we're losing jobs, but a bigger investment in renewable energy will lead to more jobs, and also the other thing is efficiency. An increased use of energy efficiency. Kansas is one of the worst states in the country when it comes to efficient use of energy. And that will affect people positively too. That's also an economic justice issue, because people who live in rental housing, for instance, are not incentivized to do, the landlords are not incentivized to do efficiency upgrades on their facilities. So they live in drafty houses and their energy bills go up. If we can get housing stock more energy efficient, that will benefit, that'll have an economic benefit for less fortunate people also.
And I think most, if I'm not mistaken, the majority at least of the Superfund sites across the country are located in neighborhoods with high poverty. A lot of them are racial minorities.
Right.
And probably
politically disengaged.
Right. And if these industries were located where the millionaires are living, I'm guessing they would not be objecting to the environmental regulations anymore.
Well, I think they said at Standing Rock, the DAPL pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, they were going to send it through Bismarck, I think, was it? But the people who were primarily white objected to it, so now they're sending it through the Native American lands. Because they figured that they were going to be easy to roll over.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't turned out that way. And that's also a model for us. We really think that that's a positive development, the way that the indigenous population is standing up to extraction and fossil fuel infrastructure development. We got to move away from fossil fuels.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about another issue on your list is anti-corruption. How do we get rid of corruption in politics?
Well, I think one of the ways you would do that is through addressing black money, dark money. I mean, we have a big problem with that here because there's a lot of with the Citizens United decision, the moneyed interests can give unlimited amounts of money without being revealing it to the public. So I think one of the things there would be reporting that kind of spending, which is something you could do on the state level. That would be one thing.
A big part also is passing and enforcing some legislations that require transparency in government and making sure that all officials and all people connected to elected officials provide enough information and reveal their connections that may reveal this corruption, wherever it may exist.
Well, let me ask you, though, if President-elect Trump gets to appoint a couple of Supreme Court justices, are you concerned that the next Supreme Court will broaden some of the prior rulings and say that we can't require candidates to reveal their sources and stuff?
Well, the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United assumed that people were going to, that there was going to be revealing of it. I mean, that was one of the considerations in the decision was the assumption that legislation would be passed that would require, that it would be transparent. So I don't know if they could go about that. I mean, you know, you could speculate that they might try to pass legislation nationally to say that that's not this, but they don't need to. I mean, right now the status is quo. They're happy with the status quo. I don't think they would need to. I think other states will start to, especially the blue states, will start to. You'll start to see legislation to increase transparency of lobbying money and also electoral fund spending.
Right. So now, if people want get some more information. They would go to KansasPeopleAgenda.org, is that right?
And we have an email, a Gmail also, KansasPeopleAgenda@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page, Kansas People Agenda 2007 Rally. And we just want people to know that we want all voices to be heard. And this is a day for just a mixture of everyone to come together and all voices to be heard and just to come together.
And it's January 11th.
It's January 11th, 9:30 to 3:30. And we just want to show up at the State House. And we have people organizing all over the state to get everyone to the State House.
People should get there early because it'll take a while to get 1,000 people situated. So the building opens at 8, so you can start coming at any time. After the rally is over, we'll do legislative visits and sitting in on committee meetings and talking to our legislators about the people's agenda.
And are you organizing any transportation to help with people who don't have cars?
Exactly. They're organizing buses to come also for people to.
Yes, there is a whole group of the organizers that are working on organizing carpooling and also working on bringing buses from different parts of the state into the state capital in Topeka. And they're right now working on the logistics and the funding for that.
All right.
But there will be announcement about bus moving people from different cities into Topeka.
And so that'll be
on the
your website and the Facebook page?
Facebook page.
Okay.
And everybody is in and nobody's out. That's
all right. And let me have you just tell them how they get to the Facebook page again.
Facebook and type in Kansas People Agenda 2017.
All right. And is there any closing comments? We've got about 2 minutes left.
We would just like to remind everyone that the Kansas People's Agenda of 2017 is just a moment in Kansas history that is going to mark a new coalition of organizations that are across issues. We are lifting up marginalized voices. We are organizing a collective grassroots effort. And this is an event that is starting an ongoing movement. So we hope to see some of these people again going forward. Black and brown voices, people from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, Muslims and Christians together. And we are looking forward to seeing 1,000 people in the Capitol on January 11th, 2017.
Well, thank you all for being here. We're out of time. We've got a couple messages coming up, and then we will be followed by Counterspin, and following that is Taste of Tiano.